Blog Talk Radio.
Can you hear it, Rick?
What?
Yeah, through your phone.
Hello. Praise the Lord. I want to welcome you to another edition of the Miracle Man Show here on Wednesday, the 15th of March of 2023. And I am your host, the Miracle Man, coming to you live from Midland, Michigan.
I can't promise anything, but I think that now that we can hear you as you're speaking, I think that we're all good, okay? This is amazing, but you're on air right now, okay? So it's a beautiful Wednesday. The weather has been great lately. It's been a little bit cold. And what else do we have coming up this weekend? St. Patrick's Day?
What?
Do you celebrate St. Patrick's Day? Do you have any Irish in you?
Listeners, I don't have any Irish in me. The biggest thing I personally do for St. Patrick's Day is that parade I go to that's in Bay City. It's that parade that I go to in Bay City, where they have the different floats, the bands, and the stuff like that. I don't really do the whole thing of the drinking. Of course, you folks do what you want to about that. And when I talk to you about that kind of stuff, about the whole beer drinking thing, what I do is I tell you what God thinks about it. That's what I do. I tell you and I read to you from the Word what God thinks about it is what I do. So you just let go by, you know, your conviction, how you feel. So I'm not gonna sit here and say at this moment and say, don't go. And that's not what I'm gonna say. Follow your conviction is how I'm gonna say it. And if don't do it is your conviction, then by all means don't do it. Uh-huh. But if it's different, then well, it's up to you. And you're ultimately going to be the one who gives an account on Judgment Day for what you do with your life. It's you that's going to give that account. So then you want to keep in mind when you decide. But like I said, my plan is to go to the Bay City Parade again, as I do most years when they have it. But I say most years because, of course, 2020 was canceled due to COVID. As you can tell by the way he said COVID, I wasn't happy about it. Same thing with 2021. They canceled it because they were afraid. Yeah, the governor was afraid, so she put all those rules in place, mandates in place, and all this other stuff. And I'm like, for what? I honestly think that all that stuff that went through, all the shutting down, did more harm than good. It actually did more harm than good, and the results as to what has happened should tell us that. But I'm gonna say about that. But originally, St. Patrick was a Catholic priest Wasn't he a priest?
He was a saint.
Oh, yeah.
Before he was a saint.
I do believe. A monk. He was a monk, and then he became a saint.
Yes.
And then later on, he became a saint. And before that, he was a monk. And
do you know why Saint Patrick was sainted?
Why was he sainted?
There is a folklore among some Irish communities that Saint Patrick got his sainthood when he drove all of the snakes out of the entire island of Ireland. And
right.
That's why there's no snakes in Ireland. And some people think literal snakes, and others think figurative snakes, like those who would lead people astray.
I wish we could do that to get all the snakes out of America.
Oh,
and there could be no snakes in Michigan, no snakes in Florida.
Well, maybe you'll be St. Rivers one day.
Can we do that with Red Tide?
I don't think so.
Everybody in Florida is wondering right now, can we do that with Red Tide?
I don't think so.
Huh, why?
You'd have to filter the whole ocean. That's a lot of water.
Yay! Filter! No Red Tide ever again! Yay! All future hurricanes now canceled.
If only it was that easy.
All your homeowners insurance there, cut your rates by 90%.
Yes.
Because then we can, and in fact, you can actually cancel your home insurance policy if you want. Oh, man, if I had one, I would have canceled it years ago.
Yeah.
Why? So that Florida can become the cheapest state in America.
Okay.
Which I actually want it to do.
Yeah. So what are you preaching on tonight? What are you?
I'm gonna get to that, and I'm gonna get to that in a little bit. But I mean, obviously, can't be that. But of course, one can dream, right? Obviously, one can dream. And if there was one state you could actually barter, and try to negotiate, I'd want Florida to be the only state where you could do it.
Yes.
And no other state. Could you be allowed to do it?
I think every state should allow bartering.
Why Florida? So you can test and see how low you can make it go.
Oh.
Get the idea? Okay. And then even do it with airline tickets.
Oh, that would be lovely.
$20. No, $59. No, 79. Just kind of thinking that's all. Just hashtag dream, is what they say. But anyhow, it's good to be with you. I'm sorry for the technical difficulties. We've been having some little technical difficulties trying to figure out what in the world is going on when we try to connect and use a laptop. We're trying to figure out why in the world are we having issues. What on earth is it? What on earth is it? I don't know. Good night, nurse. I know. Alexis here, she told me. She has actually used Goodnight Nurse ever since I told her about it.
Yes, I have.
And you listeners, maybe I have told you folks, maybe I haven't. But we had this certain guest speaker in my church about a month and a half ago, almost 2 months ago now. And she tells the story. And here's what happened. So, one day, now they live in the state of Georgia, kind of, Swainsboro, Georgia, so kind of like, kind of central, kind of south Georgia, like, so a few hours from, the great state of Florida. And so one time they're in their house, and they had this big German Shepherd. And, these German Shepherds are these very big dogs, right? They're huge. So one day, he has like a big spot on him of some kind. So June and Gene finds out, and he's the husband, he finds out that there's something they can do with cornmeal. And if they do rub the cornmeal on him or whatever, it can help and what have you. But the dog, we'll just call him Spot. So Spot gets cornmeal on him. And he starts going through, he gets inside the house. And he starts running into the house. As he does, he goes through the whole house. He goes through the kitchen, through the living room, through the bathroom, you know, through, a couple other rooms in the downstairs. Goes up the stairs and the upstairs hallway. And the whole way he's going, he's literally anointing the everywhere he goes with the cornmeal stuff. He is anointing everywhere in the house that he goes with it. He goes into the bedroom. He goes into the spare bedroom. And yeah, all the bedrooms in the house. And the whole time he's anointing it. Spreading it all over the place. And June sees what he's doing and what he's done. And when she does finds it, she yells out loud, "Good night, nurse. Good night, nurse." And the whole time she's thinking, okay, what are we going to do? So she cleans up the mess. It's this big ordeal. She cleans up the mess. And then after that, the mess is cleaned up. And Gene, June's husband, asks her, "June, what was that good night nurse about?" And she goes, "Well, we had that big cornmeal thing." And she figured, and she said, "I didn't want to say anything bad. I didn't want to curse or anything. So I just started yelling, 'Good night, nurse. Good night, nurse. Good night, nurse.'" And it was like the whole, she said, basically like, the Holy Spirit revealed that to her. And so she's come up with these crazy things. And I don't want to say Christian cuss word, but she said it kind of more like it's not a curse word, but it's like something you can kind of say, and like there's nothing negative behind it. And so, yeah. Honestly, when she said that, I was laughing along with so much of the church. Also, honestly, it blessed me. It really did. I thought it was real funny. I thought it was a good joke, nonetheless. And so I've used that a couple of times, literally a couple, like not a whole lot, but Lexi's here. She said that she has used that good night nurse. And you can feel free to use that. Hopefully, I've heard of other cases from her where people have said, and it was in the South, because to you, Jessica, when you think about it, doesn't good night nurse sound totally like a Southern thing?
Sort of, yeah, maybe.
The only other people she heard do it were in the South that she knew of, or she heard them do it, it was in the South. Like, so it's totally kind of a Southern thing. And the fact that she did that, she's showing that she has a southern drawl. And she has, and when you hear her speak, she kind of sounds like a mix of that Southern drawl and also like African American, like the American African Americans sometimes will have a certain accent that kind of goes with that. And so it's kind of that mix of both in that same accent. And there's different Southern accents depending on where you are in the South. There's even a Texan accent. There's certain places in the South where almost all the guys sound like they might be country singers just by their accent. Have you noticed that when you've been in the South before, Jessica?
Yeah.
That, like the place you went to in
twang.
The place you went to in Texas, did almost all the guys sound like they could have been one of those country singers?
They had an accent, that's for sure.
Or is that some of it's Texas? Was some of these those other places where almost all the guys sound like they could be country singers, like East Tennessee, Arkansas, sometimes North Carolina, some of those places?
I've never been there.
But in different places in the South, not everywhere, but specific places in the South, you'll hear that accent, and the guys sound like they could have been country singers. Of course, not every man who even was from this, but certain men's voices, like their voice when they speak, they sound like it. That's what I mean, you know? And so it's part of why, to me, that Southern accent is so charming. Did you know that the Southern accent, by the way, has been considered to be possibly the most charming accent in America? Have you heard that before?
I have not.
But you totally believe it, don't you?
I can believe that.
That where a certain survey would show that. I'm not talking about what you think about it. I mean, like, that the survey would show that.
Yeah.
Because.
I can believe it.
Yeah, what? Yeah, I'm not asking you what you think. I mean, like you can believe that the survey. I can believe that the survey would say that. So I'm going to move on after I tell you one more little thing. So one time we're driving through Kentucky, driving up from, we had been to Tennessee and Georgia that trip almost 10 years ago, but we're driving up from Tennessee, Georgia. We're going through part of Kentucky. And I was saying something about Southern accent, what have you. And my mom was telling me, I have actually heard of these classes where some people go to try to get rid of their Southern accent. And I'm like, really? And she's like, well, okay, Mom. And then, you know, saying nothing negative, nothing positive. I'm just like, okay, Mom. And so the next Southern trip, I'm down there, you know, one of the times I did that, I was saying something about it, one of the times I was walking around in a mall in Chattanooga, Tennessee, another time, that same trip in Alabama, and taking my brother down there for something, and I say to this lady, these different ladies, you know, sort of where people go to take classes to get rid of these accents. And I'm like, well, I think this accent is a gift from God. And you got to be able to, you know, just roll with it, flow with it. And both of these ladies, both the one I ran into at Hamilton Place in Chattanooga and then the other lady in Alabama, they both said, you know, I agree with you. And they're like, well, thank you. They honestly did. Like they honestly thought, you know. Because, you know, because you think about it, you have that accent, you know, it's like a blood thing. It's part of what makes you what you are. From that, if you're from that area, grew up in that area, you know, part of what makes you you. And, and so, it's, all right. Honestly, right now I'm gonna sing a song or two, and then I'm gonna get right into the Word of the Lord, because I just looked at the clock, see that it is kind of ticking at me. I mean time is going by, and so I'm gonna sing a couple songs and then get into the Word of the Lord. Your presence is the air all I need. It's all I want and all I seek, and without it, there's no meaning. Your presence is the air I breathe, the song I sing, the love I need, and without it, I'm not living. Oh, your presence is the air I breathe, the song I sing, the love I need, and without it, there's no meaning. Your presence is the air I breathe, the song I sing, and the love I need, and without it, I'm not living. I will exalt you, Lord. I will exalt you, Lord. There is no one like you, God. I will exalt you, Lord. I will exalt you, Lord. No other name be lifted high. Your presence is all I need. It's all I want, all I seek, and without it, there's no meaning. Your presence is the air I breathe, the song I sing, the love I need, and without it, I'm not living. I will exalt you, Lord. I will exalt you, Lord. There is no one like you, God. I will exalt you, Lord. I will exalt you, Lord. No other name be lifted high. There will be no one like you, no one beside you, alone, not worthy of all praise. There will be no one like you, and no one beside you, alone, not worthy of all praise. There will be no one like you, and no one beside you, alone, not worthy of all praise. There will be no one like you, no one beside you, alone, not worthy of all praise. I will exalt you, Lord. I will exalt you, Lord. There is no one like God, I will exalt you, Lord. I will exalt you, Lord. No other name be lifted high. Thank you, Jesus. You are here, moving in our midst. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, moving in our midst. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, moving in our midst. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, moving in our midst. I worship you. I worship you. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. You are here, touching every heart. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, healing blinded eyes. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, touching every heart. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, healing blinded eyes. I worship you. I worship you, Lord. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. 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 Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop. You never stop working. You never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop. You never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop. You never stop working. You never stop. You never stop working. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. You are Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. 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 Thank you, Jesus. You are the miracle worker. You are moving, and it's right here, right now. Thank you, listeners. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you are right here with us. You're right here moving, working in our circumstances, whatever they are. You know what they are. Then I might know what my own are or someone else's, but I don't know what every one of these other listeners. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you're doing in each one of their lives. And they all need something different from you. One might need, someone else needs something different. Thank you, Jesus, for what it is that you're doing right here, right now, for all these people. They all need a different touch from you. Thank you that you're meeting every one of their needs according to what it is that they ask you for. And I thank you, Master, that you will meet them right where they are. And I know, Lord God, that you're going to do it because your promises are yes and amen. And they're not maybe and I guess. They're not maybe and I guess. But sometimes I like saying that. I like saying his promises are yes and amen. Not maybe and I guess. Amen. And I thank you, Lord God, that for this time in the Word, thank you that you use me to deliver the Word. You anoint the ears of the listeners to hear the Word, to receive the Word, and go do the Word. And I thank you for what you're doing. In Jesus' name. Now I'll make my confession over this program. I pray that sponsors and partners come in. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that finances come into this program. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that huge amounts of more and more listeners keep coming to this program. Most importantly of all, I thank you for the huge amount of souls coming in to your kingdom as a result of this radio program. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I want you to go with me, if you would, to the book of Exodus 4. And we'll see what God has for us. While you're turning there, I'll just take a sip of my water. Water. That Gaither Brothers video, they did a song called Cool Water. You can go on YouTube and look it up. It's honestly really funny. It's hilarious. If you want to watch it, you know, take a watch at it. But hopefully you found it. We didn't go like way to the back of the Bible. We only went to Exodus to be able to find it. And I'm gonna start with verse 1. Moses answered, "What if they, the Israelites, do not believe me or listen to me, and they say, 'The Lord did not appear to you'?" The Lord said to him, "What is that in your hand?" "It's a staff," he replied, "on the ground." Moses threw it on the ground. and it became a snake. No, don't get afraid because I said the word snake, because the Bible says we have no fear. And it became a snake. And he ran from it. Then the Lord said to him, reach out your hand and take it by the tail. Moses reached out and took hold of the snake, and it turned back into a staff in his hand. This, said the Lord, is so that they may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has appeared to you. Turning the page. Verse 6. Then the Lord said, put your hand inside your cloak. So Moses put his hand into his cloak, and when he took it out, it was leprous, like snow. Now put it back into your cloak, he said. Moses put his hand back into his cloak, and when he took it out, it was removed, like the rest of his flesh. Then the Lord said, if they do not believe you or pay attention to the first miraculous sign, then they may believe the second. But if they do not believe these two signs or listen to you, then take some water from the Nile and pour it on the dry ground. The water that you take from the river will become blood on the ground. Moses said to the Lord, oh Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I'm slow of speech and tongue. The Lord said to him, who gave man his mouth? Who makes him deaf or mute? And who gives him sight or makes him blind? Is it not I will help you speak, and I will teach you what you shall say? But Moses said, oh Lord, please send someone else to do it. Then the Lord's anger burned against Moses, and he said, what about your brother Aaron, the Levite? I know he speaks well. He is already on his way to meet you, and his heart will be glad when he sees you. You shall speak to him, put words in his mouth. I will help both of you speak, and will teach you what to do. He will speak to the people for you, and it will be as if he were your mouth, and as if you were God to him, in your hand, so that you can perform miraculous signs with it. Then Moses went back to Jethro, his father-in-law, and he said to him, let me go back to my own people in Egypt to see if any of them are still alive. Jethro said, go, and I wish you well. Now the Lord had said to Moses in Midian, go back to Egypt with all the men who wanted to kill you are dead. So Moses took his side, his wife and sons, put them on a donkey and started back of God in his hand. The Lord said to Moses, when you return to Egypt, see that you perform before Pharaoh all the wonders that I have given you the power to do. But I will harden his heart so that he will not let the people go. Then say to Pharaoh, this is what the Lord says. Israel is my firstborn son. I told you, let my son go, that he may worship me. But you refuse to let him go. So I will keep your firstborn, I mean your firstborn son, not your firstborn, your firstborn son at a lodging place on the way. The Lord met Moses and was about to kill him. But Korah took a flint knife, a sharp knife, cut off her son's foreskin, and touched Moses' feet with it. Surely, you are a bridegroom of blood to me, she said. So the Lord let him alone. At that time, she said, bridegroom of blood, referring to circumcision. The Lord said to Aaron, go into the desert to meet Moses. So he met Moses at the mountain of God and kissed him. Then Moses told Aaron everything that the Lord had sent him to say, and also about all the miraculous signs that he had commanded him to perform. Moses and Aaron brought together all the elders of the Israelites, and Aaron took them and told them everything that the Lord had said. Moses, he also performed the sign before the people, and they believed. And when they heard that the Lord was concerned about them and had seen their misery, they bowed down and worshiped. Number one. Afterward, Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and said, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Let my people go, so they may hold a festival to me in the desert. Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey him and let Israel go? I do not know the Lord. I will not let Israel go. And they said, the God of the Hebrews has met with us. Now let us take a 3-day journey into the desert to offer sacrifices to the Lord, our God, or he may strike us with plague or by the sword. But the king of Egypt said, Moses and Aaron, why are you taking the people away from their labor? Get back to your work. Pharaoh said, look, the people of the land are now numerous, and you are stopping them from working. That same day, Pharaoh gave this order to the slave drivers and foremen in charge of the people. You are no longer to simply, to supply the people with straw for making bricks. Let them go and gather their own straw. But require them to make the same number of bricks as before. Do not reduce the quota. They are lazy. That is why they are crying out, let us go and sacrifice to our God. Make the work harder for the men so that they keep working and pay no attention to lies. Then the slave drivers and the foremen went out and said to the people, this is what Pharaoh says. I will not give you any more straw. Go get your own straw wherever you can find it, but your work will not be reduced at all. So the people scattered all over Egypt to gather straw to use for straw. The slave drivers kept questing them, saying, "Complete the work required of you for each day, just as when you have straw." And the Israelite foreman, appointed by Pharaoh's slave driver, others were beaten and were asked, "Why didn't you meet your quota of bricks yesterday or today, as before?" The Israelite foreman went and appealed to Pharaoh. "Why have you treated your servants this way? Are given no straw, yet we are told, make bricks. Your servants are being beaten. But the fault is with your own people." Pharaoh said, "Lazy, that's what you are. Lazy. That's why you keep saying, let's go, sacrifice to the Lord. Now get to work. You will not be given any straw. Yet you must produce your full quota of bricks." And the Israelite foreman realized that they were in trouble when they were told, "You are not to reduce the number of bricks required of you for each day." When they left, they found Moses and Aaron were eating to meet them. And they said, "May the Lord look upon you and judge you. You have made us a stench to Pharaoh and his officials, and have put a sword in their hand to kill us." Moses returned to the Lord, and he said, "O Lord, why have you brought trouble upon this people? Is this why you sent me? Ever since I went to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has brought trouble upon this people, and you have not rescued your people at all." And then we'll look at one more. What happens is these people, Pharaoh decides that he's going to treat the people very harshly. And Pharaoh's heart was hardened. Told Moses what was going to happen. God told Moses what was going to happen. He did. But first thing I'm going to discuss is how Moses, Moses is told that he's going to be the leader of the people of Israel. He's going to be the leader. Moses tries to do is he tries to say, "Well, Lord, I can't speak that well. I'm not very eloquent. And this was after God had showed him, after he had the staff, and first the staff became a snake, then the snake was turned back into a staff. Then he did the miracle with the hand. Then he did one with the Nile. And he said, hopefully, he was like, hopefully these people, the Israelites, will believe these miracles, these miraculous signs. And the people believed. And then later Moses goes, he goes to Pharaoh, he goes back to Pharaoh. Him and Aaron both. They go to Pharaoh. "Let my people go." He said, "God said, please let my people go, that they so that they can serve me, go take a journey, make sacrifices to the Lord. And Pharaoh would say, no. In fact, I want them to get to work. He basically said, go to work. He was telling him, go to work. Go back to work. He even tells them, but you know what? I'm going to have you do this work. You know, all your brickmaking that you've been doing. But guess what? I'm not going to be giving you that straw. I'm not going to be giving you all that straw anymore. You are going to go gather it yourself. They couldn't find straw. Couldn't find it. And then the drivers are asking, why? Why aren't you meeting quota? Why aren't you meeting quota? Explaining, you know, we're not given the straw. Pharaoh said, well, you're not getting the straw. He was calling them lazy because they wouldn't do their work. He was saying, Pharaoh was claiming the reason that the people wanted to go was because the reason they wanted to go to Israel and worship God, he claimed the reason they wanted to go and worship God was so that they wouldn't have to be doing their work while they were going to worship. I'm sure that they had every intention to go worship God for a 3-day journey and then maybe come back and worship and get back to work. But you see, Pharaoh, he was determined. He was going to be a tyrant. He was going to be a total tyrant. That's what Pharaoh was, a tyrant. And he was going to be that boss, and he was going to tell him, you know, I'm going to do it. It's going to be my way. These people are lazy. What they wanted was to worship God. They truly did want to go worship God with Moses and Aaron. That's what they wanted. Moses was to be the leader, and Aaron would be the one doing the speaking for them. And they were like a team, both leading the people together. Because that was what Moses and God had agreed to. But then God promises the people. You know, he promises them, I will deliver you from the hand of Pharaoh. And at the end of chapter 4, he basically tells Moses the way he's going to handle it. And that if eventually he keeps not letting them go, I'm going to send plagues. He basically lays it out the way he's going to do it, doesn't he? Right there in front of Moses. It was planned. It was planned. As you find out in those other chapters, you know, in 7, 8, 9, 10, you know, all the different plagues. God told Moses that's what was going to happen, didn't he? In other words, it was all planned that I'm going to harden Moses' heart. Pharaoh's heart. Pharaoh's heart. That's exactly what he told him. I will harden Pharaoh's heart. They will keep asking to be let go. But then there's something I want to debunk here. So in there it says, you know, and God asks Moses, you know, that, you know, the question of, you know, who can heal, you know, who can give sight or make someone blind, you know, and something like that. And who can make, you know, and then he says, you, I mean, no one other than me. But whenever I see something like that, scripture like that, I always have to reaffirm to your listeners. It is not God that makes us sick. God does not make us sick. God does not make us sick. Because God said, I will put none of these sicknesses and diseases upon you. None. Whether it's cold, flu, COVID, cancer, you know, pneumonia, you know, whatever it is, all these different sicknesses, all these different diseases, God does not put them on us. God's the healer. Jesus is the healer. He's the deliverer. He died on the cross. Jesus died on the cross for us to be healed, not for us to be sick, bound, depressed, oppressed, of any other press. No, he died on the cross for our sin could be healed and delivered and set free. That's why he died on the cross for us. That right there is exactly why. And not for any other reason. But so we could be healed, so we could be delivered. That's why he came. And so these people, I mean, yeah, these Israelites. At first, he was gonna go see if his people were alive. Go back to, because he has Jethro, and he went back and he saw they were alive. And God, what to say, what to do. God taught it. Yeah, God was literally training him in what he should say, what he should do. And when this happens, here's what you do. When this other thing happens, here's what you do then. And so, and Moses would keep going back to Pharaoh and say, you know, God said, let them go. But what we read in chapter 5, Pharaoh said, I do not know Jehovah, neither will I let Israel go. You know, he knew who God was, but he would lie. He would lie. Pharaoh was, you know, and he was furious. And so, since, you know, I don't know, we have a ride at the county fairs, you know, at county fairs in different parts of America. And up here in Michigan, you know, depending on the carnival company, we have a model that we call Pharaoh's Fury. It's like a boat. Or what kind of a boat does it look to you like? A pirate boat or what kind of boat?
A pirate
ship. So it looks like a pirate ship boat type thing. And so even I'll go up on it, you know, in the summer. And it's literally called the Pharaoh's Fury. And so we sing a certain song at Invasion last year about, and they did a skit and they had brought this bike in and they're like, freedom, freedom, by the power of your mighty hand, freedom, freedom. And I had thought at the fair, I had thought, you know, what if I had actually said, Pharaoh, take these kids to the fair, us think they would say no. They're going to work. They're not going to the fair to ride my ride. He wouldn't let them go with the fair, would he? He would say no? He would say no, they couldn't go? I just had that silly thought there. Honestly, it's not like that ride tells the actual story or anything like that. I mean, if you want to ride that ride at the county fair, some places, you know, they'll be doing fairs this time of the year. And I'm not going to tell you not to ride it. But in all seriousness, you know, Farrell, he was not a happy guy. And part of what God sent Moses to do, what he told Moses to do, was to free the Israelites. This is why he had to free the people. This is why, folks. This is why. Later, he would part the Red Sea for them. He would part the Red Sea. He wants to part the Red Sea for you. He wants you to get out of your Egypt. He wants you to get out of your Egypt. You're bound. What's your Egypt? He wants you to get out of your Egypt. Now, you might not live in Egypt, but you might be trapped in circumstances like that. And God wants to bring you out of your Egypt. And to have you be free, delivered. Maybe some of you, your Egypt might not be a job. Maybe it could be you're bound by something. Could be alcohol. Could be drugs. Could be nicotine. And all that stuff doesn't want to let you go. I mean, I haven't used alcohol or nicotine, any of that, but I can just imagine. That stuff does not want to let you go. It doesn't want to. It wants to be a stronghold on your life. But you got to take authority over it and say, no, in the name of Jesus, I'm going to be freed from this stuff. I'm going to be freed from my Egypt. It is in your life. Lord God, I thank you for this word tonight. I thank you that you will help us, you'll work on us, that you'll help us get free from our Egypt that's in our life, whatever it might be. That you take us by the hand and you take us into the promised land. And thank you, Lord, that you do part the Red Sea. Thank you that you're moving on our behalf. Thank you that we're doers of your word. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Now, in terms of March Madness does start this weekend. Michigan State this year, a 7 seed, taking on a 10 seed. Not Marquette, forget who it is. But I do predict Michigan State will win on Friday. They would probably play 2 seed Marquette, assuming they would have went on they would play on Sunday. I think Michigan could win both of those and advance to the Sweet 16. I hope they do. I really hope they do, because they haven't made it to the Sweet 16 since like 2018. No, 2019. They have not. Michigan was unable to make the tournament. Unable to make the tournament. A few years ago, making it all the way to the championship game. But this time, not to be. As they say about Michigan, better luck next time. Overall, one of the big number one seeds, though, Alabama. And usually, think of Alabama as a football school. Do I think they could win the whole thing? We'll have to wait and see. And I'll be listening to ESPN Radio and sources like that to see what they have to say about all this. All right. I confess Psalm 91 over us in the name of Jesus. I say that no evil shall befall us and no plague shall come nigh our dwelling, for you have given your angels charge over us to keep us in all of our ways. I say that no drug driver, no drunk driver, no rapist, no burglar, no murderer, no suicide, no fire, flood, or crash, no sickness, no disease, none of this evil stuff will come near us or our family. We're going to live in great peace and great joy and be a powerful witness for you, Jesus. Amen. And I sure love you. All right. Until next time, God first, God always. So long, everybody, and I will talk to you all Monday.